In a few minutes, how the coronavirus could further split the world into two economic spheres. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The official report on U.S. jobs is due in just over an hour and a half. It's the first one of this new year, covering January. At the end of 2019, job growth was slowing as the global economy weakened and the U.S.-China trade tensions took a bite out of manufacturing and exports. Wage growth has slowed as well, as Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
The wage statistic we often focus on is average hourly earnings. But looking at average weekly earnings actually gives us a better idea of how much workers are taking home in their paychecks based on how many hours they worked. And economist Julia Pollack at ZipRecruiter says those hours have been going down.
The hours worked are the lowest on record in retail. The most common complaint we hear at ZipRecruiter from the working poor is that they can't get enough hours to make ends meet.
Average weekly earnings were up just 2.3% in December from a year earlier. They were rising much faster in 2018. And average hourly earnings have been weak, too, says University of Oklahoma economist Gary Hoover.
We ended up with 2.9% wage growth. That's not much of an increase in wages.
Especially with prices increasing just over 2%, eating away at those wage gains. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
We're also watching today for an annual revision to the government's count of jobs. This will cover a one-year stretch from the late winter of 2018 to the early spring of 2019. Preliminary figures suggest that 500,000 jobs the government thought were created never happened. Economists say while the statistical revision is routine, the large scale of what is expected today is not. So not 2 million jobs that were created during that stretch, but something closer to maybe 1.5 million. Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down 0.7%. Here, Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down about 0.4% ahead of the jobs report. The chief executive of a very big Swiss bank, Credit Suisse, has resigned after a scandal in which the bank spied on a former colleague. Tijan Tayem said he was unaware of the surveillance operation, but he acknowledged that the affair had caused anxiety and said it should never have happened. The BBC's Darshini David reports.
Mr. Tayem's achievements in stabilizing Credit Suisse's finances have been overshadowed by the scandal involving one of his former allies, Iqbal Khan. The banking world was rocked by revelations that Mr. Khan, the head of the wealth management division, was chased through the streets of Zurich by detectives when he defected to a rival UBS. Mr. Tayem was cleared of involvement, but as the accusations multiplied, a showdown with the board ensued. While Mr. Tayem denies any wrongdoing, the chairman, Urs Rohner, secured his departure. The bank's largest shareholders had called for Mr. Tayem to be retained. Now they have to be persuaded that his successor can continue to restore the bank's fortunes.
Darshini David with our editorial partner, the BBC.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go big picture on the effects of the coronavirus, with now 637 people who've died from the disease in China. The rate of increase in new infections has slowed in recent days, but the World Health Organization's chief today cautioned not to read too much into that. The virus is also having sweeping effects outside the realm of public health. Zanny Minton-Beddoes is editor-in-chief of The Economist magazine. She came by Marketplace's New York Bureau here. Welcome.
Very good to be here, David.
All right. Coronavirus. Prudent businesses are doing planning. Central banks are thinking what their responses might be. It's a little hard to plan because we're not quite sure where it's going.
It's very hard to plan. And I think, as you say, every institution is now figuring out what it means for them and then building models to try and see what it means to the world economy. What worries me slightly is that the prism through which many people are viewing this is SARS, because the SARS virus hit China 2003-2004. It had a very, very dramatic but very short-term impact on Chinese GDP, and then the economy bounced back very fast, and it really didn't have very much impact beyond that. And there are two reasons that I think this time might be different. One is I think it's way, way too early to tell quite how far this will spread, certainly within China, where we seem to be nowhere near a peak.
Scientists don't know, so you can't ask economists.
Scientists don't know, exactly. And secondly, beyond that, it clearly has spread globally. And will that be contained? Will it not be contained? But perhaps more fundamentally, the degree to which supply chains are linked and the degree to which China has globalized is exponentially different. So the impact will be much bigger and much further afield. And then I think there's a sort of longer term concern, which is this is coming on top of a fear of a bifurcation of the world, thanks to the trade war, thanks to the growing strategic tech rivalry between the US and China. Already, global companies were having to rethink their supply chains, were having to sort of work out which side of this splinter net they were going to be on.
Well, you were telling me about the pharmaceutical industry. A lot of the raw stuff that goes into making drugs, say, in the U.S., comes from China?
Absolutely, comes from China. And we are, the longer the Chinese economy is effectively shut down, or large parts of it are shut down, the more we are going to see knock-on impacts, not just on the earnings of big companies that sell in China, but on companies that rely on China for their supply chains.
All right. Zanny Minton-Beddoes, editor of The Economist, which we call editor-in-chief here in the U.S. Zanny, thanks.
You're welcome.
It was my New Year's resolution to revisit the core economic principles that govern so much of life in what we're calling Econ Extra Credit. You can participate as well. Sign up at marketplace.org. Our producers are Rose Conlin, Victoria Craig, Meredith Gerritsen, Candice Manriquez-Wren, and Daniel Shin. Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.